Wednesday evening, July 2nd, 1975, at the Church of His Holy Presence in Anaheim. The message, given by John Robert Stevens, is titled, To Wean or Not to Wean? That is the question.
Praise the Lord. This is going to be a good service, isn't it? I felt to give teaching tonight that's rather basic and simple. But sometimes we find a lot of people have come into the walk over 4 or 5 years, and they really don't know the basics that have been taught before. And it's good to have a little review and pickup session that helps us out a little bit. It helps us keeps us within the divine order that the Lord opens up to us and directs us in. Amen. What I'm really concerned about is that by the School of Prophets convocation in August, that we'll have moved into this next level that God has set before us. He's talking to us about it on Sundays through the weeks that we've passed, about this worship, the oneness, the way we approach God, that there's going to be a breakthrough. There have been words that have been very directive and predictive. These words have been confirmed over and over again. Now, the Living Word Office is digging back, and they're finding evidences of this word that has come before, these predictions of a coming experience, and the challenge of it. And I'm so concerned that the people get into the spirit very carefully of this preparing them for this next step. You see, when a new experience comes, it often can be a thing that sifts the congregation. For instance, you take a church that doesn't know anything about the walk. The pastor comes into it and then he tries to teach it to the people. It's such a big jump that he's fortunate if a fourth of them would go along with him. Isn't that about right? He'd be very fortunate. And the charismatic movement in the denominations has split the churches open because a lot of them didn't want any change. They couldn't open up to a new experience at all. Now, we are facing possibly the same thing. And I've been very deliberately putting you through the hoops. This is sometimes makes me want to stand up and say things about it that the rest of you'd want to make notes. It just really galls me that I know what God is doing, and I try to prepare the hearts of the people for it. And then there can be that resistance. Oh, I don't want to go for this repentance bit. Hear that come from a little minority through it. You watch it. They'll get washed right out of the boat. Because it's the spirit of repentance that's preparing your hearts for the next step. Never has God ever brought a new step and a new experience. But what those that were repentant were the only ones that were enough of new wineskins to go in to the next thing that was to come. That's true. And you cannot be critical and sit back and have no sense of repentance in yourself and be ready for this next step. And I'm doing everything I know how before God, seeking His wisdom constantly, get you people ready for the next step. And if I didn't believe it was going to break this summer, I'd tell you so. But I keep telling you it could break. It could happen any time. When it happens, there's going to be like a tidal wave that's going to start. And it doesn't mean that everybody that's in the walk now are necessarily going to open their hearts to it. And I don't know how it's going to come. I know that it's going to come through worship. But I know also that there is not any dearth in the land as great as the individual waiting upon the Lord and worship, which was set before the walk 25 years ago. Say all you want to about it. We come and we worship in the service in a limited measure, and we open up to the prophetic flow. But if I had to take a poll and ask how many hours has spent with this total congregation right now since last Sunday in waiting upon the Lord and worshiping before Him individually, I think many of you would be surprised. You'd be surprised, and you suddenly evaluate your spirituality at a much lower level than what you have. I don't mean to get rough with you, but I'm feeling very desperately this, because I spent about 3 days in which I felt that I've been in the continual battle. And I know the enemy's battling this thing that's coming, but it's going to come just the same.
Yes.
The only thing is I want you to be prepared. I want to be prepared to move on in God when it comes.
Yes.
Amen. You've had a rough time as it is staying in the boat. What are you going to do when the rough water begins to come and you begin to shoot the rapids? Then you're going to find out what it's like to really stay in the boat. All right. How many are a little bit moved by this? Realize what I'm telling you is the truth.
Yes.
You've got to do something about your walk with God.
Yes.
Come on. Is that right? You've got to do something about your walk with God. You've got to start breaking through on us. We think God's delaying and God's slow. But if he should break through on us, do you think that you'd be ready for it right now? Would your heart be prepared for the next thing that God's going to do in the earth? Well, I hope so. I hope that he would be. You would be. Now, I want to talk to you for a little bit tonight, as if I hadn't already started. I want to talk to you about what this thing is all about. First thing we have to understand is how much individuality has been retained in this walk with God. And I think at this particular point that I'm a little bit frightened. I'm frightened that for I see something top-heavy in the walk. I can't say anything like this, but somebody listens to a tape afterwards, and they all get upset about it. I can't help that right now, but I believe that the congregation of the body as a whole is trying to move more into a body than its leaders are.
Yes, amen.
I don't think that the leaders are learning to walk together in the body ministry as well as the congregation is. And it's a top-heavy situation. Because I don't know how far the people can go if they have exceeded the dedication toward body ministry, exceeded the dedication of the leadership. And I wish that there was some way that we could call a time of just humbling and fasting and prayer for all the deacons and the elders and prophets and prophetesses and deaconesses, pastors everywhere, that they would begin to move into the purity of body ministry.
Amen. Amen.
Now, this thing has been a burden upon me. It wasn't Sunday, and I've had no communication with anybody since Sunday. So don't anybody sit there and say, well, brother, I wonder who talked to Brother Stevens and what the problem is now. No one's talked to me, and there isn't any problem. Somebody's going to phone me, or I'm to phone them 9 o'clock in the morning. But that's an insurance agent. So, believe me, there have been no finks that have been talking about you, but there's been a burden. In fact, this burden began to gel very much as I was riding along in the van, and it was all quiet. No one's talking at this point. The Lord just began to flow it into me that I should speak tonight concerning this burden that he's been laying upon my heart. And after talking to me for 2 or 3 days, I'm going to lay it out before you, and I'm going to tell you something which will be a criterion by which the ministries and the walk are going to stand or fall. And I predict that it'll be this summer that the shaking will come and the people are going to be tested one way or the other. Now, first of all, let's understand a little bit about just reading the scriptures that are so familiar, what this is all about. In the 4th chapter of Ephesians, oh, listen to me. You know, I'm preaching to you like all of you were good old heads, gray heads, and with lots of wisdom and experience. Forgetting this, should I forget that you are young and some of you still have a job finding where the book of Hezekiah is? Should I forget that some of you are not skilled? I think I will forget it. I think I'll demand a certain perception of you.
Amen.
Because I think we were born to be wise in this walk.
Amen.
If the ministry God has given me is apostolic, It should lay a foundation for you that would be solid.
That's right.
And according to that word, here are probably seven of the most important verses in the New Testament, from verse 10 through verse 16 of Ephesians 4. Probably no seven verses lays out the whole purpose, the foundation, the progress of what this is all about in this walk, like this does. He who descended, that is Christ, is himself also who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. Notice, not given to go out and win a lot of souls, not evangelism as you've known it, but the basic purpose was to equip the saints,
yes, amen,
for service.
Amen.
To equip them to the building up of the body of Christ. Amen?
Yes. Amen. Amen.
And that's the whole idea. Feed the lambs.
Yes.
Feed the sheep.
Yes.
The shepherds don't beget sheep, but they can sure put some good fertility pills into the grain,
that's right,
that they eat. They can stir them so that they become fruitful and reproductive of the word that God has given.
Yes.
Now, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Oh, it is maturity for which I minister to you. The purpose for which every minister ministers should be to bring about maturity. There should be a deadly fear in the heart of every one that is called to any one of these offices, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, and add to this elders. There should be, or deacons, there should be a deadly fear in their heart, lest they minister to people, even if the people demand it, minister to them in such a way that they create a dependency in those people upon them.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
That is the most deadly thing that can happen and the most old order thing that I've ever heard of. It belongs to the thing I used to see in the Pentecostal movement as a boy.
That's right.
Some old dame that always had a word ministering it out of her back kitchen door, and people run to her, and the next thing she'd set everybody against the pastor and cause division, and the supposedly spiritual ones would form a clique and a division. You've seen that. That happens in any movement. You see, to create a dependency upon yourself is to show that you are a false minister. To try to produce people that will not be dependent upon you is a mark of the true ministry.
Yes.
I've done everything that I could under God, by every wisdom that God would give me, every word, to produce in you people that which would cause you to stand on your feet,
right,
and walk,
amen,
before God,
amen,
yourself.
Yes. Amen.
To prolong a bunch of babies is not the idea of the exalted ministries.
Amen.
That you be no more. There's as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects,
yes,
into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Here is the whole function and purpose of body ministry. And until we grasp this, it's very easy for the minister. Ministries are the ones that have to see it. The people,
that's right,
cannot be expected to do this. The people invariably will run to wherever they can get a sugar tit.
That's right. That's right.
They'll run wherever they can get a sugar tit. That's right. Is that true?
Yes.
That's right. They're going to suck as long as they can find a wet nurse. But we're not to be any more babes. We're to be weaned from that thing as soon as possible.
Yes.
The greatest story of this And through the years, I found nothing to exceed it in the scriptures. It's the story of Hannah. Hannah prayed and prayed, and God gave her a little boy she called Asked of God. Ask of the Lord, Samuel. Ask of the Lord. And she brought Samuel when he was weaned. She brought him with the sacrifices that they were going to make up to Shiloh. Imagine, brought the little boy up, gave him over to Eli. The whole business, the sacrifices, she went home and she probably cried a lot. But she was faithful to wean. She did not keep on nursing that son, although she had been a barren woman for a long time. And though it had plagued her and been like a curse to her, she went on and had other sons. You remember her rival Peninnah? Peninnah turned them out every year just like clockwork, you know. But you never hear about any of Peninnah's children, but you hear about Hannah's. You'll hear about the children that are faithfully weaned, the ones that prolong it. You watch. You find someone that is in trouble in the body. Just watch them. They're going through something all the time. Never get their feet on the ground. They never seem to be able to get a hold of it. They have come up to a certain place, and they have relinquished that essential prerogative of seeking God on their own behalf. And they have turned it over to somebody else, and God won't bless it. God won't bless it. The prolonging of that infancy, the protracting of a dependency that is not of God, he frowns on it. The whole purpose of this body ministry is to bring us into that place as soon as possible. Now, this is what grieves me, that there's not more waiting upon the Lord. The ministry at this time, as far as large as the walk is, and as far along as, for instance, these three churches, most of them have gone. The ministry should be largely something of confirmation at this point, rather than initiating a word.
That's right.
The people should be far enough along that they're getting the word of the Lord by waiting on the Lord and seeking the Lord, and they come and submit it, and the apostles and the prophets and the teachers and so forth serve as guides to help them in case they are not interpreting it correctly, or they're not getting the word clearly. But to help them if they're going through something in which they need a real deliverance or they need help. But instead, some still say, what am I to do about this? What am I to do about that? When you come and stand before the ministries, you be sure that you have done everything that you can to get the word from the Lord first.
Yes, amen.
Otherwise, what is this all about? This becomes the most dangerous thing that we've ever seen if it does not produce a whole body of people who all see eye to eye when the Lord brings again Zion.
Yes.
Well, it must be something that is a common vision.
Yes.
Every ear is open to hear the word of the Lord.
Yes.
If we are dependent upon just the apostles and the prophets and the pastors and the teachers, what else did I leave out? Evangelists, elders, the deacons. If though there's not enough of them that they should say, we are the ones that direct you, that just can't be. It can't be. It's going to be dangerous.
Yes.
After a while, there's going to be too many people in this who don't know the word of God.
That's right.
Who don't hear the voice of God. Who have no spiritual comprehension. And the whole thing begins to bog down. Now, at this particular point, there is no doctrine that can become more subversive than the beautiful doctrine of submission. Under the guise of submission, you may be subordinating some faculties that God does not intend for you to subordinate. You may say, well, I come and I submit. Tell me who I am, where I am, where I'm going, what I'm going to do. No, sir. No, sir. I don't think that that's a wise course. I fully intend to know the voice and the will of God clearer than I've ever known it. I intend to move into the wisdom of God. I know that it's essential. But I also intend very soon as it's a practical manner, to ruthlessly cut down every bit of this that's come and laid at my feet and say, come and tell me what to do. You're going to start getting the voice of the Lord, submitting it through the channels for confirmation, and having that word confirmed, rather than having it initiated with the leaders.
Amen.
It must be that this whole body develops a capacity to hear the word of the Lord themselves.
Amen.
And to walk with God.
Amen.
I have not led you thus far to be unkind to you. But there's going to be some babies that are going to be crying when they get weaned. And I think it should be.
Right.
And I'm going to call for every ministry that's called upon to constantly be a wet nurse to the people to begin to demand that they spend a week praying about something before you talk to them about it. How does this sound to you? How many think too many piddling things that people should be finding out for themselves? There are too many channels of confirmation that could come up afterwards. We're going to be led by the Spirit of the Lord. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of Israel. I believe it's going to happen. Well, I'm trying to get this message across, and I believe that it's coming through to you in such a way that you're beginning to realize that for us to make this next step into this experience that God wants in worship will be that we're not a bunch of sheep. Somebody said, worship? We all worship. But it's going to be something in your heart of 24 hours a day waiting on the Lord.
Amen.
Worshiping, learning the voice of the Lord.
Yes,
standing as the people ready to be led in to the things of the Lord. Amen. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord.
Amen.
And stand like one man waiting
Amen.
On God.
Amen.
I believe the waiting
Amen.
Of the Lord is going to open the door.
Amen.
To precious things for each one of us individually.
Yes.
Otherwise, we bog down in administration.
That's right.
Basic.
That's so true.
And all of us will be crying like Moses, just show me mercy, Lord, and kill me. Because I'm not able to bear all this people alone. That doesn't mean that you're unbearable. It just means that God never made any man or does not intend to give any man the grace to be something to you that he never intended any man to be to you. I'm not going to be something to you that God never intended any man to be to you. The last thing in the world that I'm going to do is to play God, but I'm going to play shepherd. And law, I'm going to lead you. But you're going to move. And you're going to listen. And you're going to know his voice.
Yes.
Now, this has to work in two areas, I believe. First of all, the warning to the leaders, because a great deal of the responsibility rests upon them.
Right.
The people will push you, press you out of shape. They'll have so many needs, and they'll want to take a shortcut. Brother Stevens, I believe in your faith. I believe in your wisdom. So do I. That isn't the issue. But I wasn't raised up for you to believe in my faith. I was raised up to see that you have faith.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
And you get pushed into playing God to people in spite of everything you want to do. The people will push you into it. Unless you say, whoa, I serve you on God's terms.
Amen.
Not on your terms. If I serve you on your terms, you'll wind up in hell. If I serve you on God's terms, I'll lead you into sonship.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Now, this is healthy. This is good teaching for you.
Amen.
Because this is what it's all about. You're in this for a walk with God.
Yes.
You're not in this for, all join hands. We're all blind, but we hope the fellow up there in the front can see. Is that right?
Yes.
Well, we've all got to develop the spiritual perception, the alertness, the eyes to see, the ears to hear, what the Spirit is saying to the churches. When the Lord took me into the future, you remember that? That's not too many, two or three years ago. When the Lord took me into the future, it was the most amazing experience. Looking back, I could see the thing that counted
was that the people were taught to move as one family, sticking together. Second, that spiritual perception had developed through the whole body so that they knew the voice of God.
Amen.
Those were the two things I set before you. I told you we'll never make it unless these things are developed within the body. And I didn't cease to preach to you about the wisdom, the revelation, coming to understanding, repentance. I haven't stopped. From that day, I haven't stopped trying to bring you into that. As a result, I think we have 10 times as many people today that know the voice of God in an accurate manner. We're going to go a little further.
Yes, amen.
We're shooting for 1,000 prophets to start with. Looking for God to bring them forth. That's what the school of prophets is all about. That's why we study the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, the discerning of spirits. That's why we strive in every way to come into this. Dealing with the deep spiritual responsibilities, the maturity, so there will be no more children tossed to and fro. We'll come up to the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ, to the mature man in God that he wants us to be. See, that is the whole purpose of the ministries, that you be mature, that you reach that place. This is what they're brought forth to bring out of you. This may sound like the same old saw. Brother Stevens, we heard this 25 years ago, but it seems like it's expedient to repeat it.
That's right, amen.
But some of us need to hear it over again. It's a basic thing. It begins with the responsibility of the leaders. They must not let the people push them out of shape. But it also goes down to the people, because sometimes the leaders fail too. You've got to beware of ministries that minister and stand without the apparent need of confirmation. Whether it's with me or anyplace else, listen to it. Now, did you hear what I just said? Within the congregation, within the people, there must be an awareness, carefulness. Come up, somebody say, I have a word for you. Fine, listen to that word. But it does, I'm telling you the truth, it does not become a valid word of God upon which you must act until it's confirmed. See, but he's an apostle. I don't care. He's a prophet. I don't care. He's my pastor. I don't care. This is another order from old order. And the individual leadership is blended today into something until I'm making this prediction. I want you to listen to it. This is where the walk is going. It's going to be known as a movement without leaders. I want you to hear this. The Lord has shown me this. It's going to be known as a movement without leaders. I talked to the audience. Listen to that tape that came out over there in Hilo. Did you read that? This is the walk? A symposium. You just can't miss listening to that. And then I said, in a real sense, I'm not a leader. I preach. I teach. But I don't get up and say, lead this way. We submit and the Lord confirms. The leaders should be nothing more than oracles of God.
Hallelujah.
A word comes from the Lord and is confirmed. None of us should take this upon themselves to say, this is the word that directs the church, but we submit that. And it's confirmed, it's established as a word by God. We don't have any other way of doing it. Now, listen to me. If we throw it back to you, why, you wouldn't have come up with the word of God. Throw it on the individual and say, leader, and say, well, whatever he speaks, that's the word of God. We don't need another pope. We don't need another pope, and we don't need some society that has its annual elections, and the voice of the people is the voice of God. Since when? What we really need now is a dedication to seek the voice of God with the leaders and the people, submissive to the roles that God called them, that there be confirmed words by which we go. The Lord has been speaking to me over and over about this. It's time to renew the basic thing. We do not minister alone. We do not arbitrarily say this is what God wants, but it is submitted. And of course, that's the direction it's moving. That's why we've had the apostolic company, and they meet And the word begins to come, and it's confirmed when the brethren leave. They're all speaking the same thing.
Right. Yes.
There'll be some things we iron out in the procedures of that, but we had to get started, and there was an awful lot of ground to cover. You remember we had to continue it on over a day? And we went right on a full day of prophesying, right on into late afternoon. Why? Because just so much ground to cover. When we had this last convocation, brethren came from all over the United States, and just a few of them at that, the principal leaders and pastors from, and they just came in, and I think that God really gave us a real living word by them. You see, it's moving from a leader to an apostolic company. It's moving from individuals. Well, the Lord told me. Did you submit that to anybody? Did you have that thing confirmed? Well, no, I just got a word from the Lord. Don't be so independent. The day of individuality has given way to the collective ministry of the body of Christ.
Yes.
Where we'll all see eye to eye. We won't break ranks. We won't thrust one another through.
Right.
But we'll move in that harmony and that unity of the Spirit.
Amen.
And of course, this is the key right now. Standing and worshiping the Lord. Now you say this seems contradictory. You just told us that we shouldn't come and submit everything to the leaders. Now that we should get the word for ourselves. Now you're telling us that we shouldn't move independently. Exactly. Things are not in conflict. For you to wait upon the Lord for a word and still so repent of independent action that you're without the spiritual pride that God talked to me. Nobody's going to tell me anything. No, so if God spoke to you, you come and you submit it to the brethren. And they'll have confirmation.
Amen.
It's the pride and arrogance and the independence, whether it's in the leader or whether it's down in among the sheep, that causes the danger. But it is that passivity in not seeking the voice of the Lord and waiting upon the Lord in any of us that leads us into trouble too.
Right.
I've given you the whole spectrum.
Yes. That's
right. I've told you the very thing that has to be. What'll happen if we do all of these things? Well, we'll be all right. We'll make it fine.
Amen.
We do all of these things, we'll just move right on from glory to glory. Amen. It boils down, I think, to a basic humility that has to be there.
Yes, amen.
I don't think there's a week that I go by I don't search my heart and be sure that I'm not thinking like a professional.
Yes.
Boy, I hate that thing of professional ministry.
Amen.
I stop and think, am I beginning to think like an old pro? Because I've had the experience and wisdom and I know what to do. Or am I continually saying, Lord, I wait before you.
Amen.
This week, I'll do whatever you say.
Yes.
Next week, I'll go to Disneyland and get a broom and sweep up horse turds if you want me to. I'll do everything you tell me to do.
Amen.
That the
Amen.
Well, I really mean it.
That's true.
I really mean it. I think that one of these days, God may put some of us to the test. You may go to Disneyland, see Dr. Connor and I out there again. He says he does it in his backyard. He had a horse. Behind all of us, we have to realize that we start out very humble. Like many of the old kings of Judah and of Israel. Like Saul himself, the first king. Where he's little in his own sight. God lifted him up. Made him king over all Israel. Later, he's motivated by such jealousy. He feels so insecure of his position. He has to turn into the tyrant. He has to have the publicity. He can't afford to be anything less than the great hero to his people. I don't think that's the attitude God wants us to have. You were talking about the people that had the meeting you went to. Was that today? And most of the people were over 60.
Yes.
I don't think there's anything wrong being over 60. But sooner or later, God help us, we're all going to be there. And I'm closer to it right now than I like to feel. But what we have behind this is a younger generation is coming on. And if I don't, I am going to set before you, God help me, an example of humility, of sacrifice, of seeking the Lord, of revelation, of wisdom, of a gift and ministry of the Spirit, and then I'm going to watch you. Because if I can't produce 1,000 people that can out-minister me during my lifetime, I failed. There can't be 1,000 men come on the scene. I'm going to try to give you a higher mark as I can in God, with all humility and lowliness of mind to reach. But this thing is the path of the justice to shine more and more under the perfect day. And if I could start off like I did as a little kid trying to seek God, getting so little, hungering for so much, crying and praying through years I can't tell you. And I'd have crawled on my hands and knees across this country to find a man that could tell me what I've been able to tell you. If you can start after 40 years of God's speaking through me, and you can start there, and you can't go further than I've gone, there's something wrong with you. I mean that.
That's right.
Some of us sweat a long time before we could learn the voice of God. Did a lot of seeking, a lot of fasting, a lot of crying before God. You're picking up way down the road from where we had to start. Now let it be in your hearts to walk humbly before God. Let it not be an ambition in your part, but let it be a responsibility that you shall exceed what's gone before you. Some of us have given our whole lives to see that you get this chance. Now take advantage of it and walk in it in the name of the Lord. Bring in the kingdom.
Amen.
Go on and become the remnant that'll contend. Don't believe in any limitation to your dedication or your discipleship before God. There are no limits before you. Pursue after it humbly. Learn the voice of God. Learn to walk with humility. Learn to submit yourselves one to another. Look for confirmation. Be the body of Christ. Come through with it. It's a pure vision. There's nothing any greater or purer that's come out of God's word than what's being set before you now.
Amen.
Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where then is the house you could build for me? Or where is a place that I may rest? For my hand made all these things. Thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one will I look. To him who is humble, contrite of spirit, and who trembles at my word. God is great. He can fill the whole heavens. But when he wants to pick a place to live, it's not off in some beautiful galaxy. Because I'm going to look around and find a place to dwell. Where would you build a house for me? This is where I like to live. With him that's humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word.
Hallelujah.
And that's what it's all about. God living and dwelling and speaking through a humble, contrite heart. That's all it is. Lord, just bless this word.
Amen.
We needed this word tonight.
Amen.
We've heard it before, but Lord, we've heard it again.
Amen.
Let's stand and ask the Lord to seal it to our hearts.
Amen.
Oh God, let the purity of this word reach us this very night.
Amen.
Amen.
Let there be a dedication within us tonight, Lord, to walk in it.
Amen.
Renewed faith. Renewed faith. A renewed submission one to another.
Amen.
renewed dedication.
Amen.
Dedicated to be the leaders as God dictates.
Amen.
Dedicated to be the aggressive followers by faith as God ordained.
Amen.
Dedicated to be the worshipers unto the Lord. Dedicated to wait before Him and to learn His voice and to walk before Him in this generation the way He has declared we ought to walk before Him.
Hallelujah.
To be humble and contrite in spirit. To learn well. To be a repenter. And to walk softly before the Lord. To be easily entreated by His word. To tremble at it. To rejoice in it. To search it out. And to follow it with all of our heart.
Amen.
Bless this word to us tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Just heard a comment here that they said this should be a 4-star message. It should go out as a key thing to about everyone in the walk and all the pastors.
Yes.
Because it is very necessary. We need to be crowded, and this word crowds you. Need your vision to be pure. This sees to it that is pure.
Amen.
The battle is getting rougher. To tell you the truth, unless you have a major perception, you can't even understand the level of warfare that's coming anymore.
That's right.
You just become a victim of it. You go through all kinds of problems and assaults, and you don't know what they're all about. But you have to have this. It's not a luxury.
No.
This is a very, very necessary thing.
That's right.
Very necessary thing. We're going to reach into it by the grace of God.
Yes.
We dedicate ourselves tonight to that one thing. Lord, we're going to seek Your face.
Yes.
That's what it amounts to. Lord, we're going to seek Your face. Everything that's within us. Could we relinquish this right of trying to reason out things by ourselves?
Yes.
Can we become dedicated to revelation rather than reason?
Amen.
That even when we see a problem and it looks obvious to us what the solution is or the cause of the problem, we still go and submit it to the Lord. Wait before Him. Because I think that we can't judge by the sight of our eyes or the hearing of our ears. We're coming to a day that we must have revelation from the Lord. And we'll never come to the mind of Christ as long as the mind sits upon the throne and the Holy Spirit is somewhere below trying to give little hints and suggestions and leadings that the mind can digest like a computer and say, this is my opinion, this is what I think. God is going to bring forth the people that shall say, thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
And it's not going to happen. The first thing you have to do is to relinquish what you're doing and the way of your own decision making. I talked to a friend of mine a few years back. He said something that I've always wanted to try, but I've never had the time. He said he went out, he was wearing glasses, constantly getting a more potent prescription. And he went deer hunting. I actually wasn't worried about shooting deer, but I was going to spend about 3 weeks camping out, just messing around up in the hills, Sierras, which he did. He said it wasn't long before I found out I didn't need any glasses, so I took my glasses off. He said, by the time I came back, he says, I was reading the fine print on a newspaper without glasses, and I hadn't done that since I was a boy. You know what happened? He was out there, and the pressures weren't on, he opened up, new sight came. I'm wondering if some of us don't need to take off the old glasses of reason.
Yes, amen.
And we may stagger around for a little while, not seeing things very clearly. But after a while, we'll get the pure flow of revelation.
Amen.
There has to be a way that God's people become a people of revelation.
Yes.
There are two kinds of wisdom, human wisdom and divine wisdom.
Yes.
There has to be a flow of God's wisdom to us, because if we don't, we'll never know how to evaluate anything that's happening in this generation. We won't know the signs. We won't know whether to come or to go or what to do. There will be no single channel that'll have it. But I'll tell you what's going to happen. If we listen to messages like this tonight, and we'll follow it, one day we'll be standing here, and all of a sudden, all of us will know at the same time. Things will be unbelievable. They'll be spoken. They'll be confirmed. Everybody will begin to rejoice. They heard it even before the thing was uttered. And they'll say, that's it. The mind of Christ beginning to prevail.
Right.
where people have relinquished that carnal thinking. They have dethroned reason. And they've enthroned revelation. Amen. It'll happen. It's going to come. It could come this summer. It could come any time. It could be the next step in the walk. That God would bring something to us and suddenly everything ceases as we've known it. Our services of personal ministry and everything would change just overnight. Everything would take on a positive note. We would come, and before we left the service, the guidelines would be given. We'd actually know what to do. We would know things ahead of time. We would walk in the Spirit. There are to be more prophets in this generation than occurred in all the generations of the Scripture. There are to be more oracles of God. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your Spirit poured out upon all flesh. It's not to cease. It's not to be limited. Lord, we open our hearts to this concept. This will be in our thought. You're going to do a new thing. It's going to be a body that is going to know your will and delight to do it.
Hallelujah.
All shall be instructed in the ways of the Lord.
Yes.
All of us shall hear. Oh, Lord, open our ears, every one of us. Amen.
Amen.
All right, that's it. You may be seated. I think you've heard what God wanted you to hear tonight. Now, don't forget it.
Amen.
This has been a Living Word 1975 publication.